Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. My guest today is Joanne DiMacco. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Yes, you are.
Thank you. And Joanne is going to talk about home organizing, and that's your business. So, Joanne, tell us a little bit about your business and how you started doing this.
Okay, thank you, and thank you for having me. So I started the business almost 2 years ago, and it came out of necessity. So I was suddenly let go from my job, and I wound up helping somebody actually do house cleaning because they had a house cleaning company, and I started to help. One of her clients had a problem with her closet, and so I just gave her some suggestions. It was just sort of off the cuff, off the top of my head, and she said, oh, you're really good at that. So I was on unemployment at the time, and New York State offers something called SEAP, S-E-A-P, and they help you start a small business while you're on unemployment, and you can get full unemployment benefits, so your full unemployment money, and make money in your small business while you're on unemployment. So it's something you have to apply for, and I got accepted to it. And, you know, they help you. They require you to take business classes and meet with mentors and stuff. And it was really a great experience, and it's really what catapulted me sort of into this business. And then I found Thumbtack, which is a website where you hire freelance pros, and I'm considered a pro on that website. And, in fact, if you look up my company name, which is August Pops as one word, and POPS stands for Professional Organizing and Planning Services. So if you look up August Pops, you actually find me, and I'm usually either the first or second pro that comes up in my category, because I have 26 five-star reviews and just have some really good relationships with my clients. So little by little, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So what do you do in your field?
So specifically, so if I get a call from a client, it really ranges. It ranges from somebody who is just overwhelmed by what they have in their closet, to full-on, you know, hoarding, which is really a sort of a disease of I don't know if disease is necessarily the right word, but it really is a symptom of either sometimes emotional issues or physical challenges that one of my clients may have. And so if it's a closet, you know, sometimes, and I think we all have this, unless you're maybe that true A-type personality where you don't, you know, you don't keep everything and everything has to be in its place. Everybody sort of has that, even a junk drawer where you open it up and you just go, ugh, and you know you have to do something with it, but you're now overwhelmed. So what I really do is I step in and I just support them in whatever their goal is. So if their goal is to, you know, discard and donate a lot of their items, I'm there to help push that along and to really support them. And, you know, I tell my clients, you are hiring a professional for a reason, but I'm not here to tell you what to do, because when I walk away, it's still your home. And number one, you have to be able to manage it when I walk away. So we work together. It's not that I don't utilize my expertise in supporting them, but I'm not going to try to tell somebody to do something that they're not going to be able to support themselves once I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes it's as simple as if you put all your clothing in color order, it helps you. It actually saves time in the morning. I had a client who didn't even realize she had 6 white blouses. And so, number one, it can help you save money, because now when you go to the store and you see a pretty white blouse, you're like, oh, but I have 6 at home. To getting ready in the morning thinking, okay, I have this black and white, you know, plaid skirt and I want a white blouse, your options are right there in front of you. So that's part of it. So I really try to help my clients create a sustainable option for themselves, you know, in that sort of easier hoarding or easier organizational issues. And then I have some that are, you know, where you can, you can't walk into a room because of the items that are there, and then that, that's a whole other sort of mindset. That there is me really, really take some time to build confidence and trust with my client. And it may be, you know, it may take me 5 minutes, it may take me a half an hour, but then we get in and we deal with things one thing at a time. You have to be very respectful, very caring, but I have a really good intuitive sense in how I deal with my clients and their things, which may seem very different to us, but are usually very important to them for whatever reason.
You know, Joanne, you just told, you just said something very interesting. Now, I have a lot of blouses in my closet, and you know, after I launder it, I just hang it up, and I find myself wearing the same thing over and over again, and there's tons of stuff there that, you know, the tag is still on it. So I think that's great, you know. According to the color, and I think that's great. So, did you go to school for this, or is this an innate, you know, kind of genius that you've got?
It truly innate, but I have to say, because I'll be honest with you, and I'm honest with my clients. I definitely, and I think this is why, one of the reasons why I'm good at what I do, I am not that A-type personality. So I'm not going to walk into somebody's home and go, oh, you need to get rid of this, you need to get rid of this, you need to have this wall open, you need to do this. That's not me. I walk in completely understanding. My office, I actually just moved from a smaller bedroom to a larger bedroom in my house. But so when I had the smaller bedroom, it's always a work in progress. And I have my moments when I walk into that office and I go, ugh, you know, and I'm in overwhelm. It can get overwhelming. But now, after the last 2 years of doing this, I can now tell myself, okay, Joanne, deal with what's on your cabinet. Deal with those papers, or deal with, I also, it's also a guest room, deal with what's on the bed. And I can quickly now get through the things. Same thing with my pantry. I just cleaned out my pantry and I just organized it. So I think that the and innate ability is interesting. So yes, I think I have an innate ability, but because I'm very visual, And I am intuitive. So when I work with a client, I can fairly quickly get a sense of how to work with them, how far I can sort of push and, you know, something with them, and when I need to back off. And, you know, my best client is a motivated client. I don't care if you have a small closet that needs to be cleaned or an entire house that needs to be cleared out. If they're motivated, it definitely makes all the difference in the world. But I think just building a level of trust first goes miles than just trying to jump in and tell somebody, oh, you have to get rid of everything. Let me call the dumpster company and let's just get rid of everything. That doesn't work. That certainly doesn't work. And it's not fair and it's not kind.
So you live in Massapequa, New York.
Yes.
And I'm sure there's people in California, on the West Coast, in the Midwest, who can use your services.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to be in physical contact with them to be able to do what you do?
I would say yes, because I'm very hands-on. So I'm filling boxes and bags, and I'm moving, helping to move furniture, and I can, but I will tell you, because I also feel it's always important to pay it forward, I've had clients reach out to me through Thumbtack that may be in a different state, but if they reach out to me, and quite honestly, on Thumbtack, if someone reaches out directly to me, I'm charged a fee. So it's somewhere between, you know, maybe somewhere between $6 and $10 just for the introduction. So if I've already paid for that, if I can offer free advice to the person who reached out to me, I'm happy to do it. And I've done it a number of times. You know, and even if it's just me telling them what to ask a potential home organizer in their area that's going to come to them and what to look for. And I truly believe that it's very important to give, you know, and to pay it forward. And you know, and not that I'm looking for anything in return, but I've never lost from doing that. Let's put it that way. You know, I always feel very good about it. They're usually surprised that I would offer, you know, any kind of free advice, but I just think it's important. We're all humans, and, you know, we need to help each other.
Okay, so if somebody, let's say, I put this out over the internet, and there might be somebody, let's say, in California who's hearing this and who says, you know, I want to call Joanne, and I want to find out if she could help me. What would mm-hmm. you say to a person in California?
So the first thing I would ask is, what is it that they're looking to do? I would also tell them, so say it's a closet, for instance. I would give them what I would normally do, which is, if you have the space to do it, every single thing comes out of the closet, everything. Every shoe, every bag, every, you know, shirt, everything comes out. And then what you want to do is you only want to put back in that closet what you intend to keep. The worst two words an organizer, or I should say, two words that an organizer wants to hear is "for now." So I have many people go, well, let me just put this here for now. You don't mm-hmm. ever want to have that for now. So I would tell them, so say, like I mentioned, if it's a closet, you take everything out. And then I like to say, now what I want you to do is put things in, and I'm kind of using air quotes, palatable piles. So if you're looking at an entire closet and you're shaking your head and you're in overwhelm, you take everything out, all your shirts go in one area, your shoes go in another, skirts go in another, because now you can actually start to organize by item. So say you want to do your shirts first. You go through shirts and blouses. You go through your shirts and blouses, and you have three piles. You have keep, donate, and toss. And anything that's a keep goes back into the closet. It goes back in color order. I think it's vitally important. I think it's also important to invest in, and they're not expensive, those felt hangers where you can get like 50 hangers for, you know, $12 or $20, something like that, because they're thin and you can get the most back into your closet, you know. And the other thing that I always mention, which this seems to really resonate well with people, is think of your – I'm going to use the example of a closet again. I use the example of a budget. So if you know that that a quarter of your closet can hold – you know, you have a quarter of your closet to hold your blouses, right? That's your mm-hmm. budget for blouses. So if you have 300 blouses, you're not going to fit them in that quarter of the closet unless you have a huge walk-in. But, you know, let's say, for instance, you have a small walk-in closet. Your budget is that space. So only put back what can fit in that space. It's just like having a budget for, you know, for food. You know, my budget for the month is $500 for groceries. You're not going to spend $100 on two Kobe beef steaks. You know, so it's the same thing with your space. You need to look at it like a budget. And so that's some of – I would just give the advice to the person in California, sort of the same steps that I would use if I was there in person.
Okay. You know, a lot of people, and I'm one of them, a lot of people have difficulty discarding something that they've got mm-hmm. in their closet or in their drawer. Mm-hmm. What do you say to people like that?
That's definitely one of the harder tasks. And I'm just about finishing writing an article, which is called "Everybody Has a Hoard." And to me, a hoard isn't – somebody who's hoarding something doesn't mean you can't walk into their house because they have things all over. It's when you have to justify keeping something. So I'm not talking about, oh, I need to keep my taxes for 10 years. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about someone who keeps maybe stacks and stacks of food magazines because they believe that they are going to tear out all of the recipes – and create their own recipe book. So if they've had recipe books there for, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years, and they're not going to go through it, that's probably one of the hardest things for me to help somebody manage, because they really believe that they're going to do it, and they really want to do it. So one of the pieces of advice I give is, you know, you've hired me today to support you in organizing your space, cleaning up your space, and so we're starting this now, end of today. Everything that's in here today was created from yesterday and the yesterdays before that. And I asked them, what is it that you want to take into your future with you? If you had to move out of your house today, would you take, you know, that stack of 300 or 400 magazines? And if you wouldn't take it with you, why are you living with it now? And that really definitely opens up the conversation. And and I said, and then I'll say something like, you know, if they're still not willing to let go, I'll say, okay, let's take the magazines and let's break them down. So they're usually seasonal. So I'll say, okay, let's take all of the Christmas recipe, you know, magazines. Let's put them in a pile. Now, okay, so once you make, maybe there's 10 or 20 piles, and maybe some have one magazine. But I would say, okay, then let's keep one or two of each season. So I want to, like, at least pare it down to where it's manageable. And then the other thing I just say is, you know, you can get all these recipes on the Internet. You know, like that's really what I try to go to first. You know, if you're looking for a recipe and you want pork chops, then you could go to, you could Google that, and 1,000 would come up, as opposed to the 20 that you have in this pile. So it's just sort of working different conversations and see what clicks. So
before you started this, you were working at CNN. So to go from CNN into your own business, was it a big transition?
Yes. So I worked for CNN for 20 years. I managed all of the administrative staff there in New York. And then I went to project manage the renovation of all the CNN floors in the New York Bureau. So, and then I went to two other smaller companies. I was, my position at CNN was downsized in 2014. And so each of those, yes, is a transition. Transitioning to my own business, honestly, I never thought that it would be something that I could do that was sustainable. I thought from an organizational standpoint and just for my sort of emotional health, I believed going into an office every day was the best thing for me. And and I mentioned this to you the other day, Cynthia, that, you know, having lost my job after the last job that I was at, after only being there for 6 months, and, you know, and just being let go out of the blue, I think I mentioned to you, I said, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, and sometimes necessity is just a mother. So what I wound up having to do, and I was 58 years old and had an incredible resume, but didn't even get a phone call back or didn't even get a response. And, you know, ageism is real, you know, and I was having a very difficult time finding a new job, even with my incredible resume, because of my age. And they know your age, you know, no matter if they, you could put it on the top of your resume or never put it anywhere, but if they look, if they find you on Facebook or if they look at you in LinkedIn or they know what, when you graduated college, they're going to know about how old you are. And it's unfortunate, but, and then I had my opportunity to start this business and, you know, I am successfully, gainfully self-employed and I love every second of it. Yeah.
You know, you sound like a real success story, but recently you had a huge setback. You lost your daughter, and that can be that is devastating to any parent. So can you touch a little bit about this and the fund that you have started?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So my 25-year-old daughter, Nicolette, passed away September 23rd of this past year. She had her dad is Haitian and I'm Italian, and so he had a sickle cell trait, and I had a thalassemia trait. And she got both of those traits, which shows up like sickle cell. And sickle cell anemia is basically literally your blood cells are, your red blood cells are misshapen, and they get stuck in the capillaries for a number of different reasons, sometimes if you're ill or extreme temperatures. And the pain is excruciating, and the only way to alleviate that pain is pain meds and, you know, hospitalization, pain meds, and fluids. So this last time she went into the hospital in a sickle cell crisis, she was in there for 2 days. The third day she was about to come home, and unfortunately sickle cell can be like Russian roulette. You don't know where you're going to sickle. And so she wound up having a huge setback on the third day, and we think that she had a massive stroke and passed away from complications of what's called acute chest syndrome, meaning she sickled in her chest. So, but she was a very successful freelance video editor. She worked her right before she passed. She was working at MTV. She worked for People Magazine, SS Magazine, and MLB, Major League Baseball Online. So she was really doing very well, and she was really a very, very good person. Like, I knew her as the kid who was always, you know, leaving the house late and, you know, and had a messy room, right? So that's the kid I knew. What I found out afterwards was how many people's lives she touched. She helped so many people, whether it was at work or on a personal level, that was just her. And so I decided I wanted to start a scholarship fund for her at her high school, which is Amityville High School, on Long Island. And what I want to do is raise money and offer the scholarship to a child with needs, some type of challenges. So, and we're still sort of in the creation process. I'm working with the school and stuff to create the application process and everything. But, you know, there's so many times, you know, the best musician gets a scholarship, music scholarship, and the other one gets, you know, scholarship money because they're the quarterback. And, you know, I just think that children with needs just don't necessarily, aren't recognized as readily as those people are. And quite honestly, there were a lot of people who didn't even know that Nicolette had sickle cell. And so, because she kept it to herself. I mean, I never stopped her from doing anything, and many times it led her to have to be in the hospital. She played soccer and, you know, and softball and things. So my goal is to offer the scholarship to a child with some sort of needs. It could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be psychological, you know, but they will be registered for college and accepted to college in order to be eligible for the scholarship. And like I said, hopefully in the next month or two, we'll have all the details ironed out. We've raised $1,500 so far, and that was through Major League Baseball, had a fundraiser for her, the video edit department. And I'm, you know, I've had some people reach out to me separately and have sent me some money. And, you know, and hopefully I can do it ongoing. I'm definitely doing it for this year, and hopefully I'll be able to start a nonprofit to do this more and do it ongoing.
So if somebody is listening to this and is inspired by your story and your courage, and they want to make a donation, how can they do so?
They can email me directly for right now, and that's at jo.dasindavidammacco@gmail.com. And then once things are set up, we'll have the fund hopefully set up.
This is really good. So before you decided to do this organization, did you reach out to other organizations and find out how they started?
For the fund, for the sickle cell fund, I'm sorry.
Yep.
That's what you're asking me. This is all still so new. It was just really started something that sort of came to me in November. So I'm just still in the planning stages. You know, but I do know that there are fundraising websites that will actually handle all of the tax purpose, you know, because of course when people donate, they want many times, usually they want the tax, you know, benefit of that. So, and so there are sites that will actually do that. So because we don't have a lot of time, I'll probably start with one of those sites first. And so people will be able to donate directly through that site, or I may start a GoFundMe page or something like that. So, but I'm still definitely in the discovery phase of this process.
So as your project evolves, I would like to have you back on Women Who Inspire, and for you to talk about how you're doing with it. Would you be interested?
Oh, absolutely, of course.
Okay. So in our closing moments, do you have anything else you'd like to say?
I do. Just quickly, just for all women, you know, I took a lot of actually inspiration from my daughter, just knowing who she was. And what I have to say is I did my job. It was my job to raise her and put her out into the world, and for her to find her own way. And it's our responsibility as mothers and, you know, and fathers as well, but as mothers to raise our children to be good citizens of this world. And just like I said to my mother years ago, I said to her, you know, Mom, thanks for not being finished, because we can continue to grow, we can continue to inspire, we can continue to make our own money. You know, there's so much that we have available to us. And, you know, try not to let the conversations in your own head that keep you down or conversations from what other people may say to you keep you down. Just stay focused and love yourself, be kind to yourself. And it's amazing what opportunities are out there if you just put it out there in the world, be silent, and hear the answers, because they're there. And they've been there for me, and I feel very blessed to be in the position I am right now.
Thank you, Joanne. So you have been listening to Joanne DiMacco, and did I pronounce that right?
You did. And my website is augustpops.com. One word, augustpops.com.
So if you like this show, Women Who Inspire, like us on Facebook. Thank you. Have a great day. And Joanne, thank you so much for sharing your story. And thank you so much for giving some thought to people who have an overabundance of stuff that they would like to organize. So
you
have a great day. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.